Our goal, my goal in coming here and speaking and preaching, lifting up Christ, my goal is that sinners will be saved. There's no other reason that I come here. No other reason is to see people saved. And I know there's so much error in the land, so much of the false teaching. What it basically amounts to is the average preacher just pats you on the back and say, you're okay, you're living a good life, you're okay, you'll get to heaven. And that's about the main substance of the average church. But I don't think that the average church is going to be there in heaven. We'll be without them. And I come here, I see the average church, the preaching, I listen to different things, and I wonder what people think. Does nobody understand God's word? Does nobody consider it? The absolute necessity of salvation. I want to speak this morning. I've given this message a title, A Reason to Believe. A reason. Whenever we look around today at the churches, the different places where they call themselves a church, we have to wonder, think, consider, what is faith? What is salvation? What does it mean to believe? Am I deceived? Am I deceived? How can I tell? How do I know? How do you know? Our only hope is in Christ, the Holy Spirit awakening us, giving us grace to look to Christ. I come here again and again, time after time, calling on you, repent, look to Christ, trust the Lord. And that's all I can do. I cannot, as many say, I cannot lead you to Christ. I can't do it. But I see others preaching half-truths, leading their people astray. I think about what salvation means to me, what salvation means, what the Lord showed me when He saved me, what He caused me to know and understand. I think about it, and then I look and see how easy it would have been for the Lord to leave me without Christ. He could have let me do what I wanted to, and I would have been right there to believe on a false profession, say the sinner's prayer or whatever, believe something that's not Christ. Believe on some salvation that won't get me through. I could have been left there. And I see it seems to me that most of the world is there. Most of the world thinks they're going to be saved. And it's just like the Bible says, talking about those that come to Christ, Lord, Lord, look what we've done. Haven't we been this and haven't we done that? And all these things. And Christ, in the last day, and it's going to be too late, He says, I never knew you. Depart from me. And so that gives you might say, value and substance to the other scripture that says, make your calling and election sure. Now, I kind of wish that I could lay salvation out to you in such a manner and so pointedly and accurately and all those things that you could just, by what I said, you could say, oh, well, I can see plainly, I'm not saved. But I can't do that. It's not within my power. That's the Lord's business, to awaken. And if you want to be saved, you're going to have to deal with the Lord himself, personally. But I think about eternity. And I think about what it'll be like for those that are deceived and have never been saved. And it makes me realize just how great salvation is. And it makes me think about how great is the loss of just one soul. Just one soul. How great is that loss? And to think about it, it's not going to be just one soul. I can't help but think back on Noah in his time, where he came through the flood, where a whole world full of people perished and went to hell. And I can't help but think it's the same thing we're facing today. But I look out and I see so many different religions, many that contradict each other, many that hold up even contradictions in their own Bible. Hold them up. Call on you to believe it. And I can't understand it. If one scripture is true, or the way they hold it or make it, or their, you might say, doctrine. If their doctrine be true, then they have to throw out their Bible because their doctrine contradicts the Bible. One church will contradict another, and they'll all say, well, we're preaching the truth. Will anybody admit that I'm preaching a lie? They're going to say, oh, we come here and we preach a lie? Nobody's going to say that. But I come using God's word and with the knowledge that the Lord has given me and try as best I can to tell you what salvation is. I try to lift up Christ, try to show you, and I know I can't show much, but I try to tell you and what a sinner is, what Christ is, what salvation is, but I can't awaken you. I can't do it. That's the power of the Lord. He has that in his own power. And he has to do it. But I think about the world of people that are caught up in this great religious mess that we have today. And I think about, what are they supposed to believe? With all the things that are being preached and taught, what are you supposed to believe? It's just the blind leading the blind. None of them really knows where they're going. And the lost sinner today doesn't know who to believe, who to trust, who to follow. I want to preach as best I can as the Lord gives me grace. To lift up Christ, to preach from the King James Version Bible, and to tell you what God's Word says, so that you'll not be following me, you'll not be following First Baptist Church of Algiers, but you'll be following Christ. So what'll you do? What's a lost sinner to do? You that hear on the radio, maybe you don't have a church family. Where will you go? What will you believe? We're all going to have to stand before God one day. We're going to. It'll happen. And that day is coming, and it's coming fast. Whenever you consider this life, consider eternity, consider life and death and these things, it would be easy to say, well, when the body dies, it's over and it's done, and that's just it. And if that's the way you believe, then I could understand every person struggling and striving to live just one more day because there's nothing after death. But God's word tells us that there is a heaven to win and a hell to shun. It doesn't end when the body dies. It could be more accurate to say it all begins when the body dies. It all begins because this life is so short when you compare with eternity. It is so short that it's insignificant if it were not for salvation being held out to us. Because there is salvation, we cannot make it insignificant. There's a salvation to win, a heaven to be won. This life endures while the body lives. We go on, but when this body dies, this time, your opportunities to seek the Lord and to call on Him, your opportunity to be saved ends when this body dies. It ends, and there will be no second chance. Those people who say, well, when the body dies, this life's over, well, that would be fine if it were true. But it's not over. It's not over. You say, well, how do you know? You ever saw anybody come back from the dead? No. No, but I have God's word. We have God's word. He's given us His word. There's a heaven to win and a hell to shun. What you do in this life will determine your eternal destination. If you go through this life, continue on without concerning yourself with your eternal soul, if you continue on without seeking the Lord, you can't expect much in the next life. It has been likened before to this life. If you take this life and you spend this life enjoying all the pleasures that you can get, all the pleasures you can heap to yourself, doing all that you want to do, then that's all you will ever have, is what you can scrape together in this life. But if you will forsake this life, forsake gathering together, forsake the pleasures and all the good times, and spend your life here now seeking the Lord. This life is so short that it's like I said, almost insignificant. To spend all your effort in this insignificant time is foolishness. If you're spending it on pleasures and those things, this insignificant time needs to be spent seeking the Lord, pleading with Him, calling on Him, that He might draw you and give you grace to come to Christ. This time, your opportunities are passing one day at a time, and you don't know if you'll have tomorrow or not. The most important duty, the most important obligation of every person born into this life is to prepare for your eternal destination. It's to seek the Lord. But no one wants to consider eternity. Eternity is out of sight. And there's that old saying, out of sight, out of mind. We can't see eternity except by faith. And we want to put it off. Consider it insignificant. And you can do that if you want to. But the time's coming when you'll regret it. If you want to spend eternity in hell, then you don't need to worry about anything. You just go out and you have a good time and enjoy this life while it's here, because it's the only pleasure you'll ever have. Few years pleasure. But if you want to see heaven, if you want to avoid that awful place, you're going to have to turn away from your parties, your pleasures, all the things that consume your time, and you're going to have to turn to Christ. You're going to have to seek the Lord, and you're going to have to put much effort into it. The Lord has made it so you consider anything in this life, anything, whatever it be, anything that you put your hand to, that you work at, that you strive for, and you continue and continue, anything you do, when you put yourself into it, work and strive, you'll find that it will prosper. It will. Now, there are some who make it look easy. Some are different. We're not all the same. And some will make salvation look easy. But it's all the same. You're going to have to put effort into seeking the Lord. You're going to have to do what's required. If you want to be saved, get yourself a King James Version Bible and begin to study it. You're going to have to do it. You're going to have to study God's Word. Don't look at these new versions. Don't think, well, oh, that one's too hard to understand. It ain't hard to understand. It needs somebody that desires to understand it. Don't use the new versions. Stay with the tried and the true. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah 6:16, and we looking at old and new here. He's, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. And where is the good way? And walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. The old paths. It was good 100 years ago. And today they want to throw it out. Ask for the old paths. The old version of the Bible, the King James Version. Go to the old Puritan writers and hear what they say. God never changes. He never changes. So if there's a new way, a new Bible, a new religion, then there must be a new God. And he's going to lead you astray. You think about it. There's only one opportunity in this life. You have this life only. And when it's over, it's done. And you don't want to miss the mark now. There'll be no second chance. You're given every opportunity here and now in this life to seek the Lord. You can take those opportunities. You can squander them away. You can say, I'm too busy. I would rather go do this or that or the other. And you can put off seeking the Lord. But one day it's going to catch up with you. It's going to happen. There's a hell to avoid, and there's a heaven to strive for. And we need to, each one of us, keep this in mind every day. There is a God, and we're all going to have to answer to Him one day. Listen to what Deuteronomy says, Deuteronomy 32:29. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. That sounds like the Lord speaking to every one of us here today, that you would consider your latter end. And that's why I come here. I want you to consider your latter end. What's going to happen to you when this life is over? Where will you be? What you going to do? Are you going to continue on your life saying, I don't believe it's as bad as he says? I don't believe there's a hell. I don't believe hell's going to be that bad. I don't know what you think. But I want to try and bring you the whole counsel of God. And no matter how you look at the Bible and God's counsel and what the Bible tells us, there is a hell. The Bible speaks of it, tells us of it. It warns us. The Bible tells us. Ezekiel 33:11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? O First Baptist Church of Algiers. Oh, ye people that hear me on the radio and the internet, why will you die? God's saying this, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. The Lord has no pleasure in seeing you die and be cast into hell. It doesn't please the Lord. Many people think that, oh, well, the Lord just want to send me to hell. The Lord's that old God or whatever. I don't know what people think. But you're warned by God Himself to turn, to avoid hell, because hell is described in God's Word as the second death. The first death is the death of the body. And the second death is that eternal death there in the lake of fire. It's the second death. But this is your warning. Turn. Prepare to meet the Lord. Don't think, oh, it's talking to the house of Israel. That's the Lord speaking. He's speaking to you. When he says, turn from your wicked ways, he's talking about everybody. He's talking specifically at that time to the nation of Israel. But he's telling you what he expects. Whether you're a part of Israel or whether you're just part of mankind, turn from your wicked ways. God's talking to you, calling on you, telling you. And you say, well, I'm not a wicked person. If you're not saved, you're a wicked person. Just because you call yourself righteous doesn't mean that you are. If you're not righteous, then you're wicked. There's no middle ground. Don't think that, well, I'm not that bad a person. The Bible says all have sinned. Whenever you find yourself as a sinner before God, you're just another wicked person. That's all. You're either righteous or you're wicked. Don't think that a sinner can stand before God and call himself righteous. He says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. The Lord calls you. He calls you, look unto me. He's calling you. If you're not saved, then you're disobeying God. You're disobeying God, plain and simple. He has commanded you to come, to look, to be saved, and you won't do it. You're busy. I got other stuff to do. I can't seek the Lord. Takes too much time. I got other stuff to do. But look what the Bible also tells us. Let the wicked forsake his way. Forsake your way. Turn from it. All the things that you want to do, the things you love to do, that you're spending your time on, turn from it. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Stop thinking that you're not wicked. Stop thinking about all the things that you want to do. Forsake all that and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. Forsake your way. Forsake your thoughts. Turn to the Lord. Call on him, and he'll have mercy on you. And he will abundantly pardon. Isn't that what you want? God's word is full of promises to the lost sinner. And full of warnings to the lost sinner that won't come. God's word is full. You can open your Bible and you can find God's salvation from cover to cover. And strewn all in there are the warnings to every sinner if you won't come. You have no excuse. There's no way that you can stand before God and come up with any kind of valid excuse for why you're not saved. None of us can. Everybody says, well, God's a God of love. And he is. But his love can only be understood when contrasted with his anger and wrath against sin. If there were nothing to contrast it with, his love wouldn't mean anything. And you better believe that God will punish sin. It will happen. Not because he delights in punishment. The Lord doesn't like it, but he has to do it. His righteousness demands it. It has to happen. He cannot be holy and righteous and still permit sin to go unpunished. You know, I think about God punishing sin. And how that he delights in mercy. He's not, what does it say? not willing that any should perish. What was that other one there? Let me look here. He says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But though God has no pleasure in it, he doesn't want to see it happen, but it's going to happen. And I think back to when I was working in construction, had a crew of men working for me. And when somebody would come and tell me, oh, I'm a good carpenter, I can do this and that and all these things, and you put them to work and you find out they can't do it. Well, I have to fire him. I don't take pleasure in that. I have never taken pleasure in it. But it's something that has to be done, whether you like it or not. And so I believe that's how the Lord feels. He doesn't want to do it. He doesn't have pleasure in it. But it must be done. It cannot be allowed to continue on. It's a duty. It was my duty to fire those people that couldn't do the work they said, to get rid of them, or else I would be brought down with them. We would all be without a job. But the Lord has to. He has to put away sin. He doesn't enjoy it. He doesn't like it. But it's a job that has to be done. And don't you ever think for a minute that God won't do it. It'll happen. And whenever you come before the Lord, maybe you come on some false profession that you believe, and you bring it before the Lord, and the Lord finds it ain't true, there's not much difference there. Not much difference. And just as sure as I had to send those on their way, the Lord will send you out. You might believe your false profession, and I firmly believe a lot of them people that came to me saying, well, I can do this and I can do that and the other, they believed it. They believed it. But when it came down to it, they couldn't do it. You might believe you saved. You might believe it deep down in your heart. But God knows. And it will come out in the end. I praise the Lord for salvation. I look back at my life, see how I was, how lost I was, how unconcerned I was, how long I went through my life without Christ, how long I was only concerned about this world and this life. And God, for his own purpose, awakened me and caused me to see that my life was only leading to hell. I can't hold up any one thing or anything at all or any combination of things and say, well, because of this, I decided that I needed to seek the Lord. I can't say anything. The Lord put a concern in my heart. I didn't put it there. And I began to seek the Lord. You hear me. Maybe you hear what I say. Maybe you're concerned about it. Are you going to seek the Lord? Are you going to put it off? Are you? The Lord may not come again. He may not put another desire in your heart. If you put it off now and go on, the Lord may not come back. You don't know. If the Lord has made you concerned, You need to seek the Lord. You need to put away everything else. Put away your own thoughts and your own ways. Forsake them. Call on the Lord. I look back at my life. How unconcerned I was. I look at my life after the Lord has saved me. And I still marvel that the Lord puts up with me. But he says, the Bible tells us the Lord is slow to anger and great in power. Slow to anger. I know he put up with me for a long time. Still puts up with me. But that same scripture says the Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. He will not. The only hope you have is in Christ, to have your sin put away. Even though God has all power, there are some things that God cannot do. He cannot lie, and he cannot allow sin to go unpunished. It won't happen. Your sin must be paid for. It must be. And the only way that can happen is through Christ. Through his blood, through his atonement, through his work there on the cross. It's by Christ. He says, the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Do you have an atonement? That word atonement, it means, in simple terms, it means to pay the full amount owed for your sin. To pay the full amount. Has Christ paid for your sins? Has he? He paid for mine. Christ died, but he didn't die for everybody. He died for those that will come to him and plead with him for mercy. He didn't die for all those that go about their life unconcerned, those who will not come, those who will not heed. He died for those that will come to him. If you won't come to him, you will find that you're in need of atonement on that last day. And on that last day, it'll be too late. Too late. You have opportunity now. And I could go into I have my notes here of all the ways and how the Lord is brought out in the, when the children of Israel left Egypt and killed the lamb and put the blood on the doorpost. That blood must be applied. That blood was shed, certainly. It was shed, but it must be applied. It must be applied by faith. It must be. You need to come to Christ by faith. You need to believe by faith. You need to beg and plead with the Lord that he'll not leave you. Lord, help us. I wish there was something more I could tell you. Something that would cause you to come on to Christ. But I can't. There ain't nothing I can say. The Lord has to take a few words home to your heart. Open your heart. Make you concerned. Cause you to seek the Lord. That's the Lord's work. The work of the Holy Spirit. I can't do it. I can lift up Christ. I can call you to look, tell you to believe, tell you to repent. That's all I can do. Lord, help us. Our Father, I do thank you for this time. I thank you for thy word. Thank you for Christ, for that sacrifice, for that atonement, for that blood. And Lord, I just plead with you to have mercy on us. Lord, send thy spirit among us. Lord, to open hearts, to awaken. Lord, help us. Have mercy on us. Bless us now through the day. Bring us back tonight. And I ask it all in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.